Yo. Man, it's hot as hell in Phoenix, man. I ain't gonna hold you. Yo, but we here doing this pod, bro. We gotta be consistent. Consistency is key, and that's what we hear, man, every Tuesday and Friday. You feel me? Man, I hope y'all having a blessed day, a wonderful day. Man, it's okay not to feel okay, man. You're human. Go through the emotions. You feel me? Everybody battle insecurities every single day. But the difference is the people that make in this world, they battle through them insecurities and continue to push forward. And then don't let them be on the couch all day and staying indoors under a roof. Nah, they don't play it safe. They take risks. So step out your door and go chase your dreams. You feel me, man? It's just unblessed, man. And I ain't your father. I ain't your mother. I ain't your preacher, I ain't your teacher, I ain't your professor. And I'm just a young man trying to make it in this world and pursue my dreams. And on the way and through my journey, I like to drop gems, you feel me? I like to drop fire. Stuff that y'all can take and y'all can grow with you on your journey. Enjoy the moment, man. Enjoy yourself and pursue just to get better, bro. In all aspects of life, man, just pursue to get better. Before I get too far, man, make sure you subscribe to the podcast if this is your first time listening. I greatly appreciate it. Make sure you follow your boy on Instagram at JustinBless_. Man, and all social media platforms at JustinBless_. You feel me? Yes, sir. Man. Share the podcast, man. That's how we grow, man. Share it with your friends, your family, your foes, and your hoes. You feel me? Man. You're tuned into the Justin Bless podcast. Yes, sir, man. All right, bro. Shoot, let me tap in with myself, man. How am I feeling? How am I doing, man? I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I just feel like I just got to go harder. You feel me? I could complain about some stuff, but why would I do that? Nobody cares and nobody's listening. You feel me? So I ain't complaining about any of that. I'm going to just pursue to make changes to those things that I could possibly complain about that I'm not going to complain about and rejoice in it. You feel what I'm saying? Like, we just going to try to go and grow, bro. Like, one thing, right? It's kind of like physical trait type of thing. It's my legs, man. I want them bigger, bruh. I want them bigger, bruh. I want them to be big like The Rock. So I put in my head that Operation Rock Legs in full effect all summer. You feel me? All summer we going hard with it, bruh. Legs, I've been trying to figure out how to get like the super defined quads. You feel me? So that's exactly what your boy been going super hard about. And I'm going to continue to go hard with them today, man. I had a great workout. Man, let me tell y'all this. Let me run this down. Remember, I told you I lost my car, right? I didn't lose my car. My car broke down. And my car has hella problems, bro. For me to fix my car, make it back to good and brand new, not to worry about, I'm going to have to spend like $5,000. Why would I do such a thing when I can go get another car? That's exactly what your boy is pursuing, what your boy is going to do. You feel me? But at the meantime, in between time, man, I had to get a bus ticket. And this is my first time riding the bus or even purchasing a bus ticket. You feel me? I rode the light rail before, which is a train in Phoenix for y'all that's not in Phoenix. I rode that a couple times. But the bus, I've never rode the bus, bruh. Only time I rode the bus was when I was in New York. And them buses come quick, bro, like every 15 minutes. So, yeah, New York buses were quick and it was very convenient. So, yo, shouts to them. They had a system running very smooth and very well. But, all right, so purchasing my ticket yesterday, man, it was dumb hot. crazy hot. You feel me? Like, we got heat warnings, bro. We got heat warnings most likely until September. Every day, heat warnings. Fire. All up on your ass, bro. 115 every single damn day, bro. It is no joke. Not letting up anytime soon. The sun is like, oh, y'all thought this was a game, man. Everybody else was like, yeah, we thought it was a game. We gonna be outside. Man, niggas ain't outside no more. I'm gonna run you down these numbers, bro. For the next 7 days, bro. We got National Weather Service excessive heat warning in Phoenix. Let me run down these numbers for you. Today, 110. Tomorrow, Friday, 112. 114. 112. 106. 104. 108. 111. 105. 100. Bruh, triple digits. And it's not letting up anytime soon. Not slowing up. Nothing like that. Real talk. So, it's hot out this motherfucker, bruh. And I'm just staying inside, man. I ain't going nowhere. So, anyway, so today, I woke up early like I always do. Woke up at like 5:30. Got ready real quick. Went to the bus. Excuse me. Sorry for that pause. Went to the bus, man. It's first time doing it. So I was like being there hella early. You feel what I'm saying? So I was there at like, bus said it'll come at 5:58, which is a weird ass time, but that's what they said. So I went with it. But I showed up there at like 5:50. Yeah, it was like 5:50, 5:49, something like that. You feel me? Just to be extra safe on the caution side. Bus ain't show up until like 6:06 or something like that. And I was like, oh, word. You feel me? But at the stop, bro, there was this crackhead lady that was talking to herself. It seemed like she was talking to somebody. And I thought she was. I thought she was on the phone. I wasn't really looking at her. You feel me? I wasn't really like sitting on the bench for the bus stop. I was like outside of the bench bus stop. And you can't really see inside until like I kind of took a couple steps and kind of looked like towards her, but I wasn't looking at her. I just like, she was in my peripheral. You feel me? I seen that she was on the phone, but she was just talking. I was like, man, this crackhead, this shit wild. Her thighs are all scratched up and stuff. I'm like, oh damn, that's wild. So anyways, the bus pull up, hop on the bus, gave the nigga my ticket, whatever, put it in the machine ticket thing. And then I went to go sit down. That crackhead lady I was telling you about, she over there talking about she want to go home. Bus driver is like, where's your home at? She's like, I just want to go home. And she just kept like repeating, I just want to go home on some like weird stuff. Bus driver wasn't trying to deal with it. He was just trying to have a smooth night. So he told them, he's like, yo, just hop on the bus, man. I'll take you like, I guess wherever. I don't know where. You probably at the end of the bus route. You feel me? At the end of each bus route, everybody got to step off. So it was probably that. I was weird. Anyways, got to the gym in like 12 minutes. Was it a bad ride? Had like two stops before my stop. Hopped over there. Went to the gym. Had a great workout. Killed the quads. Like I say, Operation The Rock legs in full effect. You feel me? Trying to get thick for the summer. You feel me, nigga? So, did that. Yeah, so did that workout. Recorded stuff to post on my social media. So make sure y'all follow me at JustinBless_ on all that stuff. And I felt great. Felt like money, nigga, after I left the gym. Hopped back on the bus to go home. And bam, been here ever since. Chilling, staying out the sun. You feel me, nigga? So I got to the gym at like 6:06 or something like that. Got home at like 9. Like 9:30 or something like that. So that's when it's not hot. But at 9, that's when you still need your sunscreen because it gets crazy hot really, really, really fast. So When I got home, I was like, yo, I'm not coming out until like 7 or so to take out the trash. And that's basically that. Oh, another thing, bro. There was hella at the bus stop in the morning where the crackhead was at. Man, there was a gang of Mexican people. I'm going to say Spanish people because I'm pretty sure there's like El Salvadorian and a whole bunch of other people. You feel me? So I don't want to disrespect nobody. So Spanish descent, you know what I mean? People were in this parking lot, this plaza parking lot, just huddled up and had like a little young kid there, whole bunch of stuff. People just hoping to get a job or get some work for the day. And these trucks will come out of nowhere and like pick them up and them niggas will go in the truck and whatnot. And I'm like, dang, this is wild. This is like traffic. But hey, get it how you live, though, man. Get your bread, feed your family. I respect it. Y'all do y'all thing. I ain't snitching on y'all or telling on y'all or this ain't right or whoop-de-whoop. Nah, y'all do y'all thing, man. Y'all ain't hurting nobody. Y'all ain't hurting me. So, and y'all ain't stopping my paper. So y'all go and get y'all paper. You feel me? Sorry. So, anyways, back home. Everything smooth. Everything good. Everything smooth, man. So that was my day. Super long introduction, but well, shoot, that's what it was. You feel me, nigga? So right now, man, y'all tap in with y'all selves, man. I make sure I always do this and say this because be human and sit down real quick. You feel me? Us humans, we adapt, and us humans also we get distracted really, really fast. So. Especially in a noisy world like this. So y'all like tap in with yourself. See how y'all feeling physically, mentally, spiritually. You feel me? And in all three aspects, I'm feeling good. And just working towards bettering myself and things that I could change. And accepting things I can't change. You feel me? It's going to be 100 and triple digits for the next week. Why would I get upset or trip about that? Nothing I can do about it. But what can I do? I can go to the gym early instead of going to the gym at like peak hour burning session outside. You feel me? So I'm going hella early when it's the coolest. Still hot, but it's the coolest throughout the whole day. You feel me? So y'all do y'all things. Y'all adapt, man. Y'all smart. Y'all can make it happen. So right now we're going to tap into the praise report. Praise report. Amen. Let me tell y'all this. So Facebook, I'm gonna still call these niggas Facebook, bro. The Meta, you know what I mean? Them niggas. Well, Facebook niggas, they were actually planning on releasing a watch, which is wild. But hey, you got to get that paper by all means. They a big entity, so hey, whatever. So Facebook was actually doing a digital watch, and they want to go and get into a watch game and battle Apple Watch. You feel me? But I still need an Apple Watch, my guy. I really do. Really just for, like, fitness. Like, I don't really need it for, like, anything else, really. I had one before, but then I, like, sold it, gave it back, thought I didn't need it necessarily or want it. And I think I needed some money at the time too. Or I think I used it for credit to get a new phone. I don't know what I did with it, but I kind of wish I didn't do that, but it is what it is. I just go get another one soon. But yeah, but they're trying to do a watch, but they put the joint on hold. Yeah, they put the joint on hold, man. It's supposed to release next year, but don't look like it's getting released anytime soon, bruh. So it's not really saying what's the reason. I don't know. But it did have, the watch did have, rumors said it had two cameras on the watch, which is wild to me. What the hell you need a camera on the watch for, nigga? But hey, it's going to sell. I know it's going to sell. So y'all do. Hey, man, it's sad. It's a sad day. It's a sad day for these niggas that love hot sauce, man, because there is a shortage on hot sauce right now in the United States. I don't know if it's the world, but I know if it's in the United States, it's a whole shortage, bro. Whew. Man. They're suspending production. The spicy hot sauce, man. The Sriracha. Because, dang, it's not even really saying. The chili, shortage on chili peppers. That's what it is. There's a shortage on chili peppers, which chili peppers in the hot sauce for sriracha. And that's why the hot sauce is having a shortage. Man, it's a sad day, though. My girl loves this stuff, bro. She puts this damn thing on, like, anything that she can possibly put it on. So, I'm a Louisiana hot sauce type of nigga. You feel me? So, shout out to all my Louisiana hot sauce niggas out there. That thing ain't even hot. It just tastes good. And that's what we like. You feel me? Got a little kick to it. Like a little kick to it. Ain't nothing crazy. It's more flavor than anything. That's what I rock with. I don't like that hot and you sniffling your nose and you doing all this extra shit. Nah, nigga, I want to eat my food. I want to enjoy my food. I don't want to worry about sniffling or none of that. You feel me? Worried about drinking water and nah, nigga. Nah, that's not me. Yo, it's a crazy time around these times, man. Gas, man. Gas is up. Breaking new records, bro. The average, according to June 8th, bro, for United States, man, is $4.96, bro. It went up stupid. It's been going up stupid these past weeks, my nigga. And I was thinking I was going to save money, like, on gas to get around, which I could, you feel me? Especially with the bus now, like it's actually cheaper to ride the bus, but just like so time consuming to get around, you feel me? You can get a bus ticket for like $63 or something like that for the whole month, but it's just time consuming for you to, then you gotta depend on other people. Depend on the bus don't break down, whatever. That's actually cheaper. And I'm surprised they ain't raised up the prices, nigga. Because it's been $2 every day for a very long time, and I'm surprised. But, yeah, man. Let's run this down real quick. So, I'm in Arizona, you feel me? So, I'm going to give y'all where we are margining from and, like, what's our little margin that they got us highlighted as. And we with Ohio and Michigan. We're between like 506 to 523. And that's a hell nah. We should be in red because I don't see no gas that's 523, bruh. Unless you go to Costco or Sam's Club or something like that. Other than that, gas is up there. And your boy used to go to Costco. And the thing is, I don't even got whip right now, but I know it's like kind of up there. You feel me? In places like Illinois, Indiana, California, Nevada, Ohio, Washington, of course Alaska, and of course Hawaii, up there, nigga. They at like the lowest you can possibly get is 523, and I don't think that's nowhere. Them niggas is up there damn in the sixes, nigga. Like if we have like around where I'm like seeing around is like 550. You feel me? 560. So they gotta be like 610, stuff like that. It's wild, man. The cheapest places are of course the places that nobody goes to, nobody heard of or anything like that. Like South Dakota, North Dakota, you feel me? Like Wyoming, like niggas don't know. Montana, niggas don't go there. And surprisingly, it is cheap in Kentucky. And also Virginia and South Carolina, which is wild. And it's kind of cheap as well in Florida. But the place I got like the cheap places, whatever, it's like Nebraska, Missouri, Arkansas, kind of like all them racist ass states down there. You feel me? Like, I don't know what's up with them, but they do got that joint. Yo, Apple got what's this damn thing, bro? MacBook Air. Let's have a new design and totally new, totally different. It looks fly. I already got one. My shit still works, so hey, we still rocking with that. Hey, man. I told y'all, I work for Wells Fargo, but I don't rock with these niggas and all the shit that they be going through. But Wells Fargo is under federal investigation for violating anti-discrimination law for allegedly holding fake job interviews for minorities. You see me? You see? So I don't even rock with them niggas like that. You feel? They're doing the mortgage. Now they're doing this. It's wild that I even got hired and like two white ladies hired me. And it's wild, but hey, we in this hole. We in the deep. You know what I mean? But I actually, this past couple days, I applied to a company I would really, truly love to work for. And I feel like I could really get up in that company rankings really, really fast. And I am praying and I'm hoping that I do get the interview. It's going to be part-time at first, and I hope, and I'm going to make it work with my Wells Fargo interview. But then when I got that full-time operations, like, ready, I'm jumping in and I'm in that mug. You feel me? I'm going to climb up them ranks really, really fast. Just watch. Just watch, man. God willing. Because I'll love to work for them. And just be really plugged in, man. It's a great company. I'm going to definitely let you guys know when I do get the interview, when I do get the job opportunity. I'll let you guys know. And I can like dress up and wear all my shoes that I don't wear, like all my Jordans, Nikes, like, bruh. It's going to be fly. Like, I'm going to be able to like be creative. You feel me? So we going to make that work. So yo, this is wild right here. But yo, Geico could pay $5.2 million to a woman claiming she caught STDs while having relations in a car. Nigga, what? How is she doing that? That's what? Like, what does her car have to, I mean, what does Geico insurance have to do with you smashing a nigga in the car and catching STDs? Nigga, that's the car. Like, there's no way this case is going to go that far. But hey, it's wild. Man, I feel like I talk about this shit every day in the United States, bro. Every damn day, bruh. I'm going to just play the video because y'all already know what the hell I'm about to say. Y'all already know, man. It's America. It's America, bruh. You know what it is. You know what's going on. So we're about to just play it for
investigation
y'all.
Is definitely underway here. We're dealing with multiple fatalities. Like you said, according to the Washington County Sheriff's Office, at least one Maryland State Trooper was injured in an altercation with the shooter who has been taken down. No information on that shooter's identity or any information about their injuries. We're continuing to follow this above. Again, this happened at about 2:36 this afternoon on Bickle Road. This is a commercial manufacturing facility, and it's in a pretty remote area. This is mostly rural. I want to investigation.
You feel me, bro? It's America, bro. I'm going to just read it real quick and we can move along because it's wild that niggas is just numb to this. You feel me? Wild. But anyways, man in police custody after he opens fire in a Maryland manufacturing facility and killing three people. Man, hopefully nigga ain't get fired or something like that. You feel what I'm saying? Like, the nigga got fired, nigga came back and opened fire and shots at y'all. Man, that would be some wild stuff. But during these times, you feel me, I can see why somebody might snap. You feel? Like, nigga, you are going to really, really, truly, nigga, fire me during these times? You see gas, you see food. Like, how the hell am I gonna get around? Man, it's crazy. It's crazy stuff. But yo, you know how I was telling you, Instagram been trying to keep up with TikTok, because TikTok been controlling people's time, which is basically what social media is trying to do, control our times and all that stuff, whoop-de-whoop. So I actually, remember when I told y'all about the dude in the gym that told me about he get paid off TikTok? This nigga making videos for Under Armour, made one video for Under Armour and got like 700 whatever. Bruh, I am in it, bruh. I am going crazy consistent with this stuff. And your boy, man, I got like 13K followers on Instagram. So shouts to all of them. Shouts to all my followers on that. And y'all follow your boy at @JustinBless_. And I've been going heavy on TikTok. I'm like, yo, I got to do the same thing on TikTok as well. Operation Flood the Streets can't only be on Instagram if Instagram don't only run the streets by themselves. Nah, TikTok in that race as well. So I'm on there as well. So follow your boy at @JustinBless_. I've been doing my fitness on there, going crazy, trying to do my best, trying to put out great content and be consistent as much as possible. Yeah. Big Sean said this joint. He said, where talent lacks is where discipline is supposed to kick in, type of thing. Something like that. You feel me, nigga? I was paraphrasing it. But that's basically what the nigga said. And I feel that 100%. I feel like none of these people better than me, bro. Like, my angles, my quality and stuff like that. Like, yo, I don't feel none of these people better than me, bro. So I am putting myself out there more and more. So TikTok, bro. I'm like, when I started this stuff, right? This was like probably like two weeks ago or something like that, right? I was at like, what was I at? I was at like sixty followers or like 65 followers or something like that. And now your boy's at 107 followers, bruh. Your boy up, man. And bruh, your boy's up there, bruh. And I hope y'all follow me, man. Real talk. Follow your boy, bruh. Like, follow your boy, bruh. So we can get up there making these amazing this amazing content, bro. I'm making hella like workout videos, bruh. Like just fitness, period. Like, to better ourselves and everything. My bad, me stumbling a little bit. I was looking at my TikTok stuff. You feel me? But yeah, 107, bro. I'm, thank you. 107. I'm great. And I'm proud of me doing that and being consistent. I just know I'm just going to get that much better and better with it. So we just going to continue to push forward and push on through. Man, and just stay consistent. We ain't worried about what other people doing. People been doing it for 5 years, 6 years, 7 months, 8 months, and doing all this other stuff. Man, I just been doing it for 2 weeks. You feel me? So I can't compare my 2 weeks consistency compared to someone else's year consistency moving forward. You feel what I'm saying? So we gonna just chilling. Put our head down to continue to work and put in that work. And it's wild, like on TikTok, you can grab followers. And it's like, it's very easy to go like viral in a way. You feel? I haven't done it yet. I will soon, definitely. But, yeah, so I just wanted to know, like, how does that stuff work, man? How does that go down and stuff? And I don't know nothing about it. You feel me? Like, not a inch. All I can just tell y'all is just follow me at JustinBless_. That's all I could tell y'all. And hopefully y'all follow your boy at JustinBless_. You feel me? And we're going to learn something. We're going to learn some today together on the pursuit of figuring this out together. So y'all tune in and we're going to learn together. I'm going to talk through it and we're going to see what's up with this TikTok stuff, bro. It looks like it's a video talking about like TikTok songs go viral, like what happens and stuff like that. We're going to figure it out, man. Learn together. Let's get it.
This is Jake.
Hi, I'm Jake.
In February 2020, he posted his first video to TikTok.
All right, mom, what are you doing today?
I'm gonna make a beat.
I had my mom make a beat that I had already pre-made, and I record her. I'm like, okay, press these buttons and we'll make it look like you just made it in 2 minutes.
I need a producer tag.
Okay, what do you want it to be?
Hey, yo, mom, on the beat.
Within hours, the video was racking up millions of views. So Jake made a few more videos featuring his mom, but with one small tweak.
My brother had the idea. He was like, yo, what if we like put a TikTok in front of the phone and we filmed it?
Hey, mom, have you ever heard this song before?
The format was simple but clever. Jake would mash up songs on TikTok that were already going viral.
Hey, mom, have you ever heard this song before?
It worked. With each post, he was racking up millions more views, but he didn't stop there.
And we were like, we need to put my vocals on the end of it. And if the song goes viral, we can drop it like ourselves and become an artist.
Hub Baby Part 2 featuring yours truly.
Up, down, right, down.
We're just going to name myself JBKE and we're going to go at it.
Hey, your mama's going to make this a bop. Up, down, right,
down. It just so happens that the first one that I put my vocals on went absolutely bananas viral.
Jake's 15-second snippet of a song was taking over TikTok.
Once it was at 1 million videos, Charlie D'Amelio used it. That means that this is about to be insane. Like, it's not ending at a million, like, it's starting at a million.
At the time, Jake didn't even have a manager, but he knew he needed one fast.
We have this 15 seconds. We have labels calling us. What do we do? That was actually when I got on the phone with my now manager. He was like,
call me right now.
He was like, hey, can you finish this song in 24 hours?
Clearing the Hood Baby sample ended up taking a few days.
By the time we got it out, it was at 5 million videos. It ended up going to 15 million. If you compound all the views of all the 15 million videos, it's like over 9 billion.
Bruh. This nigga said 9 billion, bruh. Like, bruh, what the hell, nigga? How did that happen? It's crazy. And that's the time when COVID was like in full effect, right? People at home, people not doing nothing. And you end up just being creative and doing stuff. And that's something that I really was trying to do as well, like with fitness as well. But, you know, other stuff happened, circumstances happened, and I quit on that. But I'm back on it. And if I didn't, I know I would be so much further, bro. So much further. I got to get myself my flowers. Nobody else could give me. Man, I put a video on YouTube, and I got 1,300 views, bro. 1,300 views on YouTube, and I was so happy and so geeked, bro. People still comment on the video. So happy, so geeked about it, man. And I remember that video. I did not even want to do it, bro. All my other videos got like 130 views, 50 views, stuff like that. You feel me? Real light. But that video in particular, I remember I didn't want to do it because I was geeked up to do it, to go shoot, right? I went to the school to do a bleachers workout. I went there And then I was like, then I forgot the memory card. And that shit pissed me off. I'm like, bro, I got to drive back home to just get the memory card. And I was trying to do it around the sunlight time, you know, sunset, golden hours. But for me to go home, I got walked to the, like, it was a lot, bro. I didn't want to do it. So I got there, still did it, came back, shot the video, put it up. Wasn't thinking too much of it. And sure enough, that's the video that got the most views. It's wild, right? Wild. Not a lot to y'all or whoever that up there like, man, 1,300 is not a lot, blah, blah, blah. But man, chew, it is to me, man, especially on YouTube. Let's get your video seen on YouTube like that and do all that. It was just like, I was like, damn. And that actually gave me hope because I remember when I went into real estate and like wasn't really thinking about like no YouTube fitness or social media fitness or nothing like that. I was just like, man, I'm kind of done with it. I remember I went on my video just to see like, hey, like, let's see. Like how many views is that or like comments or likes or whatever it might be, right? I go on there. It was like at 1,000. I was like, nigga, what? I'm like, oh, snap, bruh. I'm like, that's dope. You feel me? Then I just seen it recently. It was at 1,300. I'm like, bruh, that is so dope. And that just gave me more motivation and courage. I just look back and I'd be like, instead of being like taking it like down, right? Or not taking it down, like being down on myself and just be like, man, what if I didn't stop and blah, blah, blah and stuff like that and take it as a negative effect. I took it as a positive, like, bro, what if I didn't stop? Like, where would I be right now? Bro, I could be a fitness instructor on the App Store for Apple. You feel me? How they have like the fitness people, like, bro, I could really be doing that right now if I continued it, if I didn't give up, if I continue to that one video a week on YouTube, you feel me, and posting more on social media and stuff like that. If I did that, where would I be? No one knows. The world will never know. But the world is gonna know this time around, because this time around with fitness, I'm not stopping. I'm flooding the streets, bro. I'm putting on Instagram, TikTok, of course. I'm putting on Twitter. Even though Twitter is not like a, it's more like words and some other stuff, still putting it on there, you feel me? And I'm doing YouTube shorts, you feel me? I'm doing it all, flooding the streets, bruh. That's exactly what I'm doing. Forget all that other stuff and not being able to do it. And nah, bruh, flooding the streets. Operation Flood the Streets, Operation The Rock Legs 2022. That's where we at with it. Oh, let's get back to it, man. I'm going on this rant. But, man, I'm just geeked. I'm fired up. I'm ready. Oh, shoot. Sorry, guys. Let's get back to it.
Views.
This is just the beginning of Jake's story. But what makes it so interesting isn't how dramatic it is, but how often stories just like his occurred in 2020. Over the last few months, I've been working with a pudding to put experiences like Jake's into perspective. We dug into the data and stories behind dozens of emerging artist TikTok hits to figure out what internet fame actually means for new music artists. It turns out this is way more than a story about algorithms or going viral. It's a story about the long-standing tug of war between artists, platforms, and music industry giants. You might be surprised who's winning.
If I were to review this project, I'd probably like never do it again.
This is Matt Daniels. He's a journalist at The Pudding, where he digs into culture stories through data. In the fall of 2021, we started a project that turned into what Matt describes as
one of the hardest data projects I've ever worked on.
It seems simple on paper. Create a data set of indie and DIY artists that went viral on TikTok in 2020 and determine if that virality was enough to change the outlook of their career.
Because it really was their first major exposure to a huge fan base on the internet.
But there were a few big problems right from the start. The biggest was there wasn't a useful data set of the most popular songs on TikTok from 2020.
We banged our head against the wall trying to figure out how do we reconstruct charts from TikTok.
It turns out there's a lot of playlists on Spotify that compile viral TikTok hits. And there's also this tool called Chartmetric, which among other things captures historical data of those playlists and tracks what songs have been added and subtracted to them and when. So we got to work and pulled all of the songs from as many playlists as we could find that were added between January and December 2020. Then we ranked the songs by their popularity on TikTok, filtering out any that got fewer than 100,000 posts, which brought us down to about 1,500 songs that went viral in 2020.
The biggest challenge, I would say, is once we had our arms wrapped around these 1,500 songs, making the decision of, is this an established artist that had a TikTok hit, or is this the artist's big break? And a big break is a very subjective decision.
A lot of the artists in our list were obviously very established.
Cardi B going viral on TikTok is not particularly impressive versus somebody who has never released a song before.
So we went back to Chartmetric to dig into more data points behind these songs and the artists that made them.
Including their Spotify monthly listeners, the number of times they've been playlisted, the number of tracks they've released, which made it a lot easier to decide, did this artist have a career beforehand?
Eventually, after filtering out all of the established artists, we narrowed our list to a sample of 125 artists we felt hit all of the marks. They all went viral on TikTok in 2020, and as far as we could determine, it was their big break.
Can I?
Bruh, that is some wild stuff, yo. Like, but it's cool though, bro. Like, I like when never before seen or heard artists do they thing, man. Like, just be creative, bro. When you're locked in the house sometimes or whatever, bro, you just creative with it. And sometimes it ain't nothing. It's not even, I'm pretty sure it's not even new, right? It's not new to you. Like the nigga that made beats, like the first nigga, right, that they're talking about, he been making beats. He just changed it just a little bit. Put his mom there. Other than just him, it was his mom. You feel me? Then he was like, oh, let me be an artist or drop some bars on it, whatever the case is. Then bada boom, bada boom, bada bang. Nigga there.
It determined it was their big break.
Can I also like say something really quickly?
Yeah.
It doesn't actually matter how many artists we examined. There's probably thousands of new artists that went viral on TikTok. So what we wanted to do was just wrap our arms around a cohort of artists that are experiencing this phenomenon and then say what happened to them afterwards.
What happened to these artists after they went viral was eye-opening. And nearly every one of those stories starts with Spotify.
The speed and the intensity with which TikTok sends things viral is crazy.
That's Elias Light. He's a music journalist, and his reporting on TikTok and the music industry is extensive.
The virality itself is not necessarily new, but TikTok is basically just a machine gun shooting out viral songs, like even more than daily, honestly. The two big differences are how many viral moments it creates and then how directly that virality correlates with streaming increase, which is why the labels are so obsessed with it.
You can see how that played out in real time by looking at this chart, which captures the explosive virality of Jake's track Upside Down on TikTok. But what it doesn't show is that while Jake's track was going viral, people were flocking to Spotify to stream it. This is the TikTok to Spotify pipeline.
I remember when we first released the song, it was just like a bottle rocket up to like 500,000 streams a day. I was like, what is happening? I didn't even know really what that meant at the time.
What it meant is that the track was going to get playlisted. In fact, within a month of Upside Down's official release, it was on 98 editorial playlists, including New Music Friday, which has almost 4 million followers. It landed on the Global Viral 50 Spotify charts. And as a result, Jake went from zero monthly listeners on August 18th to 3.4 million by October. As I'm editing this piece, he has over 8 million. This pipeline from TikTok to Spotify wasn't unique to Jake. It happened to nearly every one of the 125 artists on our list.
So I feel like TikTok's one of the main platforms where people actually leave the app to go and add music to their library.
That's Eldre, whose song Steven Universe has been used in more than 10 million video posts.
Whenever one of my videos went viral, most of the comments were people begging me to release it. That's kind of the culture on TikTok. When they hear something, they really want to go listen to it. So I pretty much went from having like, I don't know, just like a few thousand monthly listeners to just a rapid incline for like a year or two straight where it was just steady going up.
And what was more exciting to see was that almost all of the artists, including Eldre, had some of their other tracks get editorially playlisted.
That's really important because it means that once you're on a playlist that Spotify curates, it's getting a huge audience. It's a huge signal that the music you're releasing is gonna get streams.
To get a better sense of how the TikTok to Spotify pipeline worked, Matt and I analyzed another chart, the Spotify 200. It's a global chart that shows the top 200 songs on the app every day. These songs are stream kings. So in a new spreadsheet, we pulled all the artists whose songs made the US Spotify 200 after January 2020 and filtered out all of the artists who had well-established careers or had already charted before then. This left us with a new data set to analyze. These 332 emerging artists who landed on the charts for the first time. Out of this group, a quarter of them have TikTok to thank for their big break.
This is incredibly eye-opening in terms of TikTok's influence on the charts, in terms of what is getting listened to in music culture.
But let's backtrack a second, because it's not just about racking up millions of streams, it's about how fast you're able to do it. And it's not just about how virality influences music culture, it's about how it influences music business.
So Spotify basically pays out labels according to their share of total streams in a given time period. And if you get a really big hit that, you know, does a billion streams over 6 months or something, that can add a few points to your market share, which then increases your payout of the Spotify pool. It's really like a ruthless competition for this market share number that like no listener cares about at all, but the record labels watch obsessively.
Despite this obsession, look what's happened over the past 4 years. Major labels have slowly conceded their total Spotify market share to independent and self-released artists. To get back a bigger piece of the pie, labels developed a strategy. Monitor TikTok like a hawk and aggressively try to sign artists that are rising to the top.
In a way, TikTok's great for the labels. They basically sit on top of it, watch everything come up, and if they get it at the right time, they can probably make their money back on pretty much one track. The intensity of these bidding wars around viral songs is pretty wild. It's like a flat-out sprint to grab the next viral thing.
Bruh. That's wild, bruh. But the thing is, like, yo, I feel it, though. Damn, this is interesting. Interesting as hell, man.
Here's a headline I've seen everywhere. And for legal reasons, I've made a generic version of it. Artist with viral TikTok song inks $1 million record deal with major label. Let's break it down.
Yeah, so you're an artist, you have a song and it's doing really, really well. And all these record labels are hitting you up. They're like, I want to sign you. How can we be a part of this conversation? So then they will entice you with money, which is an advance.
So this $1 million right here, that's the advance.
The more virality you have, the more zeros you'll see.
This is Mary Romani. She's a former TikTok music exec who now runs her own label with Republic Records called Moon Projects.
So, you know, when I worked at major labels, but under an imprint that was a little bit more indie, I would go in between like $50,000 to $100,000 for advance. And yeah, the major labels are double, triple that sometimes.
The label signs you, they give you a fat advance, you know, usually hundreds of thousands of dollars or something like that. In exchange for full ownership of all of your masters, all of your recorded music.
So for that $1 million, the label now owns the rights to your viral TikTok song forever, and
they would keep around 85% of the royalties that came in. And you only got your 15% if you recouped the cost of your advance.
By the way, that's Ari Herstand.
I'm the author of How to Make It in the New Music Business, and I'm an independent musician.
So right after you ink your $1 million deal, you see a nice $50,000 check come in from Spotify because your song is still riding that viral wave. $42,500 of that check would go to the label. Only $7,500 would go to you. but it wouldn't stay with you for long because you have to use that check to start paying back your $1 million advance. In essence, an advance is a loan. And if you're only making 15% of the revenue generated by your song, it might take a very long time to pay it back.
So you just have to hope you're very smart about the way you use your advance, or you're extremely successful and your album generates millions and millions of dollars, and then you start earning royalties on the back end. The whole approach is basically you're going to be, you know, 500K, million, 1.5 million in the hole, and you just have to dig yourself out of it.
This is what a standard major label record deal has looked like for decades. But recently, this part of the headline has started to change the equation. If you have a viral hit and have proven you can build a following all on your own, congratulations. You have leverage.
I mean, if you have a viral hit, probably you're getting a lot of offers simultaneously because labels scrutinize TikTok so closely and they want to be part of these viral things so badly.
Because of that,
there's been a bigger shift in the last couple of years than there has been in the last 50 years in the types of deals that labels are starting to offer the artists in the artist's favor, where the label comes to the artist and says, I know historically we would take 85%, but we're not going to do that for you because you're so valuable and you've obviously proven that you can create a career all on your own. So how about 50-50? We're partners now. And, you know, we're not going to own your stuff. We're just going to do a licensing deal, meaning give us the rights to your record for the next 12 to 15 years. You can still do whatever you want with it. We'll do whatever we can to make more money on this, and we'll split it 50-50. That has never really happened before with self-released DIY independent artists.
So, how many record deals are actually happening? Matt and I decided to tackle this question from two angles. First, by compiling a list of around 367 emerging artists who landed their first major label deal after January 2020.
And then from there, we went row by row, artist by artist, trying to determine, did this person have a viral moment on TikTok? And if so, was that cited as one of the reasons for them getting signed?
It turns out roughly a third of these artist deals happened because that artist's song went viral on TikTok. And when Matt and I went back and looked at our original group of 125 artists, we figured out that 46% of them went from unsigned to landing a major record label deal. Because when these artists do have leverage, signing to a major has its benefits. For one, they have direct relationships with streaming services like Spotify, which helps them get more placements on editorial playlists.
They're also massive international conglomerates, so they will tell you that they can push you in Sweden and France and Germany and Japan at the same time as they push you in America. At the end of the day, the biggest difference is just that they're massive banks and they can write huge checks.
But TikTok has increased the chances for DIY artists to go viral one day and wake up the next morning with a million streams on Spotify, without spending millions of dollars to record an album and needing a global team to promote it.
This is honestly a subject of a lot of debate right now. If you're able to build a lot of leverage on your own, like how much benefit does a big label offer you and what should you give up?
Damn, bro. I feel that. Bro, it's crazy, man. Like, what I'm learning from this, man, is try to build as much of yourself up first before doing that, man, because when they get a hold of you early, dumb, not understanding the game, man, they're going to have you broken in debt. Like, remember when TLC said, we broke on the red carpet? It get like that. It really do.
When I looked at the data, I wasn't that surprised to see all these artists signing deals with major labels. What I found more compelling was the group who were likely offered deals and decided to continue on their own, at least for now.
It's like, I can promote my music. I don't have to rely on you to make stuff happen for me. The leverage is kind of slowly being put back into the hands of the artist, and it's a beautiful thing to see.
When I was browsing our list of 125 viral artists, one name happened to grab my attention, Edith Whiskers. It turns out that name is a pseudonym for the prolific singer-songwriter Tom Rosenthal.
I write fairly boring singer-songwriter music, that has gone a bit viral on TikTok.
Tom's first viral song was his cover of Home by Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros. It's been used in 1.6 million TikTok videos.
So after the initial kind of crazy TikTok waves hit me, I thought, okay, I'm going to release this. But then it suddenly dawned on me that if I released it via my own name, I thought this cover will be on the top of my lists forever. And I just couldn't bear the idea of writing all these original songs and then having one cover just sitting there at the top.
So he did the only sensible thing.
I came up with four names, put all those names on Twitter, and did a Twitter poll. Edith Whiskers was the favorite.
So he released the track on Spotify under the name Edith Whiskers, and it shot straight up to the Spotify viral 50.
Basically, if you can name a record label, they reached out.
The thing is, Tom is staunchly independent and has some pretty strong feelings about major labels.
I'm their worst nightmare, really, because I'm older than, you know, 19. When record labels said to me, come and sign with us because, you know, these things can drop off and we help it grow and flourish in its own special way. Well, I go, well, hang on, I've literally got the data from the first one over a year now showing that it basically does roughly the same thing every single day of its life. And I just basically said to each one, look, this is around the kind of money that it would take to get me interested because I know this is the money that I will make off these songs. That knowledge is really important, especially if you're independent.
In 2021, just a few months after going viral, Tom started his own record label.
So I thought, let's try it. Let's try and create a fair system. Let's actually have a completely big rethink about how I approach it compared to traditional record labels.
The first thing he nixed was the long tradition of advance and recoupment.
Obviously not go crazy and invest lots of money, but actually invest, you know, £1,000 or £2,000 or dollars in someone and say, look, let's make a few songs. But I'm not looking for that money back. So that's the key difference. I think actually just investing in people rather than it being this odd loan system. I want every artist of mine on my record label to understand money. And the only way they do that is by seeing money come in straight away and understanding how that works.
It has never been a better time to be a DIY artist, but that doesn't mean it's easy.
I'm at the whims of these almighty algorithms at all times. Like, they pretty much decide, you know, whether I'm gonna eat dinner or whatever.
A few years ago, I started following Eldre on Instagram, way before TikTok was even on my radar. And it seemed like he always had content at the ready.
I just need to make sure that I'm posting stuff pretty consistently on any platform I can. The fact of the matter is, like, if you wanna make it today, you either have to have money to hire people or you just need to also become a video editor, also become a graphic designer. You definitely have to wear a lot of hats for sure.
Pretty much everyone I talked to said, if you want exposure, you have to be on TikTok. And not only that, you have to post, post, post.
We recommend posting 3 to 5 times a week, and now it's 3 to 5 times a day.
Because there's people out there who are willing to put in the extra work, and you're competing with them now.
Even if you are an influencer full time, it's a lot of work, you know? But it's because there's so much content coming in, and music is one vertical of many.
If you're looking to break as a new artist, that is kind of the requirement.
The more you post, the more you'll get discovered.
Out of all the big existential questions this project hit me with, the one that I can't stop thinking about is this. Is music just content now? Are musicians just content creators?
I don't.
Bruh, that is a deep question. Is music just content now? Oh my goodness, bro. That shit blew my brain. I've never thought of it like that ever in my life. And it does get to the point. It's kind of it, bro. Like, it is now. Like, people don't enjoy the music, right? I'm gonna say this, right? Like, with Kendrick, when he dropped his latest album, right? Big Mr. Murda and the Big Steppers or whatever it is. Before the motherfucking song I mean, the album, you can fully play the album, right? People over here saying, oh, it's a classic, blah, 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 this and that. And the thing is, they're not haven't even listened to the whole album yet. Or anything like that, bruh. When J. Cole dropped, same thing. Like, and I love when the artists take time, bruh. Like, I love how Nipsey Hussle took time to drop Victory Lap. I was kind of frustrated with the nigga, but when he dropped it, I understand. Because, man, it takes you, like, that music is emotional roller coaster in a good way. Like, it takes you places. It takes you around the world. It takes you through his lens scope. In his footsteps. Like, it takes you places, man. It takes you where you could possibly be. You feel me? Like, it's experience rather than just content. And that's how music used to be. The same thing with, like, when Cameron dropped Purple Haze. Like, bro, I remember when Nas dropped Illmatic. Stuff like that, bro. Like, I can remember exactly when and where I was listening to the song, when it touched me, when I was like, oh, like all this other stuff. When you get that experience with the music, that's when it is. But now it's like, you gotta be dropping. Like, it's content. Man, it's wild, bro. You know how she was saying, man, it's post. It used to be 3-5 times a week. Nah, now it's 3-5 times a day, nigga. And me, bro, I have so much content with working out, bro. I'm dropping 4 times a day, bro. Because I have to compete with everybody else that's doing fitness and stuff. And I got to stay on top. And I know, and with my confidence, my energy, my level and stuff like that, like, I know I'm better than these niggas. Not in a disrespectful way. Like, I just feel myself. I just know. And the only how I'm going to be able to prove is to do it. I can't just talk it. I can't just stay on the couch. Even if somebody else is not doing as good as me, I can't hate on the nigga. Because at the end of the day, he's doing it and I'm not. Or she's doing it and I'm not. But the thing is, I have a game plan going into this. When I pop, I got a game plan, exit strategy type of thing that I don't need to post so much. Like, I love J. Cole. He posts and he just disappears. Same thing with Kendrick. He posts, not posts. He drop an album, disappear. Drop an album, disappear. Dude, next time he could drop an album, man, probably 10 years from now, 8 years from now or something like that. He's enjoying life. But he got to that point by being consistent. I remember when he was on the grind trying to get there. And he delivered. When he delivered in such a big way, I love how he just took his time with it. Same. The only young rapper I see that do that is Roddy Ricch. He take his time, bro. And he drop, he disappear. I love that nigga for that. That's why I rock with that nigga, bro. Because 25 million, bro, it's experience, bro. Like, I remember that's the first song I played when I got my hair cut this year, January 1st. And I'm going to always remember that song, bro. The whole album I rock with. But damn, that's a deep question, bro. Music is kind of like just content now. People just listen to it, on to the next song. You know what I mean? Wild. That's why, like, my playlist don't change too much. Like, what the songs I listen to, unless I feel you, I don't add you to my stuff, bro. I need to experience what your lyrics were on that pen and pad, or the lyrics that was on your iPhone, or the lyrics that was just freestyled off the top of your head. I gotta feel it. If I don't feel it, bro, you ain't getting added. I ain't one of these niggas that just wanna check out the new music and make a post about it. Like, nah, that's not me. Like, I don't even care. And then again, I have to be in the mood to even check out for new music. And now, like, now I don't check out for new music. If it crosses my ear, if God wants me to hear, I'm gonna hear it. You feel me? That's kind of like how I go now. But let's finish this off, though. We got a couple more minutes.
What the, like, actual meaning of this was, but, like, the video killed the radio star thing.
We all Yo, I remember when people was talking about that too, bro. Like when they're talking about how the radio killed the radio. I mean, damn, what killed the freaking radio? TV killed the radio. Yeah, that's what it was. TV killed the radio. I remember that, man. So it's kind of like getting there with music. Wild. Wild stuff.
Content creators.
I don't know what the like actual meaning of this was, but like the video killed the radio star thing. There's more to the equation than just your voice on radio. And I think that's kind of what you're getting at. There's just so much around your ability to create content. On one hand, if you're signed to a label, they can help you with that. But on the other hand, you're signed to a label because you're good at that already.
Matt and I spent months poking and prodding at the digital footprint of these 125 artists, examining whether or not they would be deemed successful based on how quickly their TikTok and Instagram followers increased, or whether they gained YouTube subscribers and Spotify monthly listeners. But one metric that's just as valuable is touring.
People love you on TikTok, that's great. Will they pay for a show? Can you start selling merch? Like, is there a deeper attachment here?
First, we looked at, of these artists, how many were touring beforehand? Unsurprisingly, some of them were. Among the artists who had never toured before or played a show, about a third of them have had at least one show, and about 15% of them are actually playing festivals now. A decent chunk of these artists have been able to channel their TikTok success into performing live music, which is often the source of financial security for an artist.
You want people to come to your shows. You want people to buy your albums and your t-shirts and be invested in what you're doing as an all-rounder. And actually, a viral song is obviously great, but it's about building something so much stronger than that.
In November 2021, a little over a year after Jake went viral with his mom on TikTok, he played his very first live show.
When you perform for the first time after everyone said you were just a TikToker.
That first moment when I was walking onto the stage, I was walking in kind of slow just to like take in what was actually happening. As I sang the first lyrics to the song and everyone was just screaming it back at me, like I almost was like speechless. That target we were trying to hit of like, let's convert this virality into something real, like we hit that target spot on.
Yo, respects to them, man. That's dope. That Jake guy, man, I ain't never heard of that nigga a day in my life. But I like to say respects to that man because he's able to channel it to live shows and stuff like that. That's why it's so important for artists to go on tour and everything like that. That's what I'm saying, man, with this pod. Hey, one day we gonna get there, man. I trust and believe, man. When I get my video and be able to put it on TikTok and stuff like that, it's gonna go crazy. It's gonna be dope. It's gonna be fly. But hey, man, hope y'all enjoyed the episode, man. Episode title, man, I think we just gonna call it TikTok. Yeah, you know what I mean? And we about to get up out of here, man. I actually got to go post on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, YouTube Shorts. So make sure y'all follow me at JustinBless_. You already know what it is. You already know what it is. From the east to the west, they know what it is. Who is it? It's Justin Bless. Justin Bless. None less, nigga.